Let's just pray as we stand. Lord, what we've just sung, we echo now in this moment of quiet. But Lord, we ask that you might be gracious to us this morning and speak truth into our hearts, truth that we need, truth that will encourage, truth that will work in us, a good thing to make us more like Christ. Lord, make us humble to listen to your words. Please teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do take a seat. And if you've got your finger in chapter 16, then please keep it in there. We'll be coming to that in just a second. I thought I'd just begin, though, by holding up this book by Bill Hybels called Making Life Work, which is a series of studies and proverbs, which is a really good companion to what we're looking at ourselves through the summer. If you want to take things a little bit further, perhaps on the beach, or maybe indoors when it's raining on the beach so later on this summer, it's a good little book for wisdom, for life. There are other topics that we're not covering in our little series that might be picked up in this book. And I've got a few copies at different prices down there on the table. Making Life Work, the book is called. It makes it sound a bit like one of those how-to books that we briefly mentioned a little bit last week. In our bookshops, you'll find all kinds of books trying to give you simple solutions to really complex matters. 5 steps to this, or 10 steps to that. Become a perfect father in half an hour or something. Get the book, read the book, get sorted. Well, I'm not saying that that's what this book is about, nor Proverbs, indeed. But we want to be, and would love to be, wise for every event, wouldn't we? We want to make great decisions in our lives. We'd have wanted it when we were raising kids. We'd have wanted it when our parents were around. We'd have done things differently, perhaps, at various points in our lives. Well, if wisdom is on offer to Christians, as we're saying it is in the book of Proverbs, how come we don't have it or have enough of it? We kind of want, well, show me the door, Lord, and I'll walk through it. That door to wisdom, to the wise path. Or give me the key, and I'll unlock it and go through and become wise. But actually, life doesn't quite work like that. This book isn't promising to offer you that, nor is the book of Proverbs. The picture of life in the book of Proverbs is the picture of a pathway. It's a journey that we travel on, step by step. And each choice we take changes me a little. And over the long distance, lots of little steps lead to the development of my character. And maybe I'll become more wise. But if it happens, it will take place in small steps, day by day, as we listen to our guide. Listen to the opening of chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you to prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And as we listen to him, this will be true, especially also in this area of pride, which we're looking at this morning. Attaining humility is a step-by-step thing, as God does his work in our hearts by his Spirit, as we listen to his teaching. So we're looking at humility and pride. I actually just wanted to call this pride this morning. Someone pointed out what was going on this weekend in Brighton. I couldn't call it pride anymore, in case anyone was confused when they got here this morning as to what I was going to be saying. But it really is about pride. Pride and humility. That kind of pride. And so chapter 16, if you've got your finger in it, here's a reason to listen to this message about this kind of pride in chapter 16 and verse 19. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. That is, better to be humble and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. It's an extraordinary thing that that verse says. It says your character is more important than your happiness or your wealth. What can be better to in life than to be happy? Than to be comfortable, than to be untroubled and free of anxiety and free of pain. What can possibly be better than these? But this proverb says to be free of pride is better than any of these. Can you believe it? We hope for the right circumstances to our lives. We hope for things to go well in our lives. But the proverb says better to have everything go wrong and to have humility than everything to be right and be proud. It's quite a shocking statement. And it's we've read through 20 Proverbs, and I wouldn't really encourage that's the best way to read Proverbs, because the more you dwell in any one of them for some time, the more you see what it is saying, such as this verse 19. Your character is much more important than your life going well. I wonder if we really think that the state of our hearts, our character, is that important. Well, apparently it is. To be right in ourselves and to be right with God are the most valuable treasure we could ever have. And my aim this morning is to help us to see this more clearly from Proverbs. And we're going to look at three questions. What does pride look like? Where does pride lead? And what do we do with our pride? What's the antidote? So that's where we're going. We start with this question, which isn't on there, which says, what does pride look like? And we'll get to that in just a second. It was T.S. Eliot who said, most of the trouble in the world is caused by people wanting to be important. And I came across this poem. Sometime when you're feeling important, sometime when your ego's way up, sometime when you take it for granted that you're the prize-winning pup, sometime when you feel that your absence would leave an unfillable hole, just follow these simple instructions and see how it humbles your soul. Take a bucket of water. Put your hand in it up to your wrist. Now pull it out fast, and the hole that remains is the measure of how you'll be missed. You may splash all you please as you enter and stir up the water galore, but stop and you'll find in a minute it's back where it was before. I don't know the title of that poem. Maybe it's called Pride. Maybe it's called I Think I'm More Important Than I Really Am in the World. I don't know. Well, pride tells us differently from the wisdom of that poem. Pride makes me the centre of my universe. It cons me into thinking that I do fill an unfillable hole. And that's perhaps what is at the heart of pride. Pride says a number of things. It says, I know better than you. Look at this proverb, chapter 26, verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Because he's wise in his own eyes, which isn't actually very wise at all. He has less hope than a fool. Well, why is that? Well, a fool might learn to listen to advice. But pride says, I know better than you, so I have nothing to learn from you. Because pride also thinks, I'm better than you. Proverbs 21, verse 24. The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. He behaves with overweening pride. The proud person puts other people down by his words. He becomes a mocker because he is more important. Well, sometimes he just does it with his haughty eyes. Proverbs chapter 6, listen to this. Have I got it on here? No, I haven't. Proverbs 6. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. And there's a list here of escalating sins, but it starts with the eyes, the haughty eyes, goes on to the tongue and the hands and the feet. But its source was pride. The man who said, "I am better than you," and looked down on his neighbour. That's the inflated ego that we have when we are filled with pride. And so a proud man rarely says he's sorry. He'll rarely back down when he's wrong, and he won't ask for help when he needs it. No, he doesn't need anyone else, especially God. And Proverbs is like a pin to pop that balloon. It shows us how foolish pride is. And it reveals to us three disastrous consequences of pride. Unfortunately, the title's disappeared. And the title is, Where Does Pride Lead? And Proverbs tells us that pride poisons our relationships. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Take the lid off most arguments that you have. I'm sure you don't have too many arguments, but when you have, what is it that's been stoking the boiler behind those arguments? And you'll find often it's pride, says this proverb. Pride breeds quarrels. We sometimes excuse our conflicts by saying that we have a clash of personalities. But more often than not, it's a clash of character. What do you get when you have two proud and opinionated people competing to get their own way? It's not a joke. It's kind of a rhetorical question. Well, it's quarrels and arguments. They're inevitable, aren't they? When we're wise in our own eyes, we find it difficult to see another person's viewpoint. So beware pride. It can poison our relationships. It's destroyed many a marriage, many a friendship. But pride does much more than just ruin our friendships with each other. More importantly, it also affects our relationship with God. It exposes our rebellion. The root of all pride is rebellion against God. It resents that God is God and I am not. It tries to deny that we're dependent on him. So a few proverbs on our relationship with God and our pride. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. Louis XIV once famously complained, "Has God forgotten all that I have done for him?" And sometimes deep down we have those same resentments inside ourselves. Because pride puts me at the centre of the throne in my life. But in doing so, it robs me of the peace of heart that can come from knowing God as God and allowing him to be God. We know that we're not self-sufficient, and we know that we can't get on with things alone, but pride makes us stubborn, not only towards others, but also towards God. And Proverbs shows us the end result of our pride. Where does pride lead? It leads to our ruin eventually, as we read, as indeed we read in chapter 16. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And that's also in 16, verse 5. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. You see, whilst pride says, "I'm the one in charge, I'm the master of my own destiny, I'm the captain of my soul," Proverbs actually shows us the reality that God is the one in charge. He's the master of our destiny, and he alone determines where our souls finally end up. And so the proud man might be wise in his own eyes, but the truth is, says Proverbs, that he's the fool. Because he's rejected the path to life and the peace that God offers to those who bow in submission to him. So what is the antidote to pride? Is our final heading. What is the antidote to pride? What do the Proverbs So, well, we know that the answer is humility, don't we? We know that just instinctively, but what do the Proverbs actually say? They say that the key to living successfully is relating to God as we should. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honour and life. Fearing God. Of course, fearing God means giving him proper reverence and respect, giving him honour that he's due as creator and as king. It means allowing God to be God. But that can't happen as long as we hold on to our pride and resist him. And here's a great verse for us to ponder on as we close this morning. Chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honour. And this verse tells us that the way of wisdom is the way of humility. And that shouldn't surprise us as we look at Jesus and who he is. As God's son, he perfectly displayed God's wisdom. But he also displayed the most staggering display of humility and submission to God that has ever been seen. Writing to Christians in Philippi, the Apostle Paul held up Jesus as the model, an example of humility. This is what he said. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Of all people, Jesus had good reasons to be proud. He was God's son, the one through whom the universe was created, the one who was promised and anticipated in the Old Testament, the one who would be the center point of history. And when he taught, thousands flocked to him. When he performed a miracle, it reverberated around Israel. And when he entered Jerusalem, the crowds hailed him as King of Kings and laid their coats on the ground in front of him. And yet, even though he was God in human form, he refused to elevate himself, but chose to lower himself to our level, and then even lower, to death on a cross. He humbled himself, became a man, became nothing, went to the cross, took our punishment, the punishment that proud, sinful people like you and me deserve. What greater act of humility and love could there ever be? Because the staggering truth is that because of Jesus, honour can take the place of ruin for everyone who's prepared to cast their pride aside and bow the knee to him. Humility comes before honour. And we sometimes think, when it's spoken of, that submission to God is a cringing, horrible thing. But actually it's not. It's a thing of great beauty. When we bow before God and acknowledge Jesus as Lord, we don't lose our dignity. We gain the honour of being his children. We become part of the royal family of heaven. So a couple of more proverbs. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honour. A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honour. Jesus humbled himself, endured the cross, and 3 days later, God raised him to life, to the highest place in heaven, the place of greatest honour. And one day when Jesus returns, every knee will bow before him and give him the honour that he is due. For Jesus, the path of humility was the path of honour. And the same principle holds for us today. Which is why the gospel says to each of us simply this: bow the knee to Jesus. Humble yourself now, because he's the way that we gain honour of the entry into his kingdom. The best known sermon that Jesus preached began with this attention-grabbing headline opening. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And the only people who go away from Jesus empty-handed are those who come to him full of themselves. So I've got 2 points of application on the theme of pride for us this morning as I close, both from that proverb we've been looking at there. Receive the humility that comes from knowing God. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom. It's not a scary fear. It's the attitude of honouring God as Christ did. Loving him and trusting him and longing to serve him and please him. Not out of duty, but out of response to who he is. And this Godward attitude in our lives teaches us wisdom and brings us humility. The humble person is the kind of person who's got their eyes off themselves and is seeking to walk step by step with God. So receive the humility that comes from knowing God. And it's a wonderful privilege to sit beneath him, to be known by him, to know him, and to live for him. It makes us whole. It makes us complete. It makes us who we are. And as we do so, let us covet the honour that the gospel brings. Pride wants honour. After all, pride knows better. Pride is better than you. Pride is even better than God. But there's a different kind of honour reserved for the humble. The honour of being lifted up from a lowly position through forgiveness, through being a child of God, through being loved unconditionally by God, is the kind of honour that humbles us. It rescues us from feeling the need to look down on others, because we have all the respect we will ever need from someone who will never look down on us, because he died for us to make us whole. I have all the honour and all the privilege I will ever need, for Jesus gives it to me. So give your pride to him, and he will lift you up. Let us pray. We sang at the start, Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. But Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, please do not leave me as I am. Thank you so much for the gospel, that it humbles us as we see how far short we fall of you and of your great standard. It points to our pride and our wickedness and our rebellion. But God, we thank you so much for the privilege that it brings, the privilege of knowing you, and the privilege of being lifted up. Lord, I pray for our relationships with one another within our church family, that we would be people who lift each other up because we know that we have been lifted up by you. And I pray for our relationship with you, that we would grow in confidence and grow in peace and grow in humility as we look to you, our model and our rescuer. We thank you for Christ. And we thank you that we can receive the honour of being called your children. We pray in his name. Amen.